It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. James Ham's there. Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. We have a ton of stuff to get to today. Holy hell, dude.
Wow.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Game one of the NBA Finals.
Oh, yeah.
Delivered.
Yeah.
That was a rip-roaring good time. Because it wasn't... The Pacers did... So, not only did they not get swept, which, imagine making that prediction. Not only did they not get swept, here's the funnier part. I literally yesterday was like, the reason I think they're going to get swept is because they've been living on the edge and making all these ridiculous comebacks. They're not going to be able to do that against Oklahoma City. And then they just did it!
I sat there.
Sure, man. The Pacers are just inevitable now, I guess.
I don't know if they're inevitable, but I certainly feel like as much as OKC feels like Thanos, there is always the possibility of, you know, the Avengers. Like, that's what it feels like. There's always a possibility that somehow someone can do something unexpected.
The unbelievable part about last night was, A, the Pacers, I have not had this much fun watching a team that was not my favorite team in a long time. Like, I have a blast watching the Pacers play basketball.
Yeah, but the crazy thing about that game is everything we thought about OKC was correct.
Yes.
They dominated from start to finish.
Yep.
Except for the final, like, 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did in that game made you think, oh, this series is over quick. And on the flip side, every time I looked up, they just weren't going away. The Pacers,
yep,
they would go down 13, they would cut it back to 9. They'd go down 12, it'd get to 10, they'd go back to 13, it'd go to 14. Like, it just felt like they were yo-yoing, but they wouldn't go away. And the whole time I'm thinking, okay, that game, okay, so the biggest lead in the game was 15 by the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
That did not feel like that was the case. It felt like, mm-hmm, their biggest lead was like 22.
Mm-hmm.
Just the entire game, you thought, oh man, they are exactly what we thought. They're taking away Haliburton. They're making things difficult forever. They are forcing so many turnovers.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter.
But you can't turn it off because it's the Pacers. It never felt over.
Yeah.
Because it was the Pacers. And you're right. So it was this stretch that got it to 15. So Jalen Williams makes a jumper that makes it 13. TJ McConnell turnover, but then Aaron Wiggins turnover. And then Siakam misses a bunny. Benedict Mathurin gets the rebound. He misses a bunny, gets his own rebound, misses another bunny, ball out of bounds. Next possession, TJ McConnell turns it over. Jalen Williams goes down, dunk, 15-point game, 9:42 left. And you're going, okay, here's where the Pacers, or here's where the Thunder pour it on. Here's where 15 gets stretched to 20, gets stretched to 25, and oh my God, we've got a blowout. And then they did that hockey substitution where they just pulled all five guys. Rick Carlisle pulled all five guys, put his starters back in.
Yeah.
Nembhard gets an and one, like you said, right back to 13. Like just, or excuse me, right back to 12, like that, off the and one.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh man, well, they're just not going away. Then they get a stop. Then they get a three. Okay, now it's, or I'm sorry, they gave up a two. Oh, but then they answer with a three. Now it's 11, 8:47 to go. And they just hung around. So I saw somebody put it online. They overstay their welcome.
Mm.
And I think that's a perfect way to put it. And the amazing thing about that game last night is down the stretch. Okay, so when Oklahoma City lost game one against Denver, you looked at all these things that Oklahoma City did wrong. Oh man, they were fouling up three, but they were fouling too quickly and in the backcourt, and Jokic was on the bench and they still fouled. Like, oh my God, they gotta clean that up. You look at the Pacers game one comeback against the Knicks, and you go, okay, well, if Nesmith goes 5 for 6 down the stretch instead of 6 for 6, they still lose. Like that, mm-hmm, you know, these, nothing happened last night that I'm like, okay, well, if you're Oklahoma City, you feel pretty good about where you're at. despite the box score, they just got outplayed over the final like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It got to winning time, and the Pacers did winning time better than the Thunder did.
It's funny because, you know, they're Indiana. Pacers, I'm assuming the nexus of the name Pacers is based after the pace car.
Yes, correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's what it felt like. They just kept pace the entire time.
Yep.
And they were down, but they just kept going. Yep. They were just kind of like, hey, we're still here. We're not going anywhere. And I think there was so many points in that game where OKC just thought, oh man, we're just so better. We're better than them. Mm-hmm. We got them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just keep fighting. I was sitting at Old Town Pizza in Auburn. Shout out Old Town Pizza. Great pizza. And I was watching the game with my family, and there was like two or three guys at the bar. We were all watching on the big screens, and they just kept going and going. They kept drawing it back in, and then they get that final rebound. And I'm literally standing up out of my stool. We're sitting at a tall top table, and I'm like, get the ball to tie. Get the ball to tie.
Yeah.
And then they get the ball to tie. They go around. He makes a move, pulls up from, 17, 18.
Did anyone in America think he was going to miss that shot?
No. As soon as it hit, like, my family and the three guys at the bar, everyone's yelling.
Yeah.
Like, what in the world?
Yeah, no, it was crazy. I was just waiting for him to get the ball, mm-hmm, because the story had already been written at that point. So yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. They held Oklahoma City to one made field goal over the final 4 minutes of the game.
Wow.
Pretty incredible. The moment where the only time I thought, ah, dang, they let it slip, was when 2:52 to go, SGA draws a foul on Halliburton, makes both free throws that put him up 9 with 2:52 left.
Mm.
And that was when I thought, oh man, Oklahoma City might shut the faucet off here. But then bang, Aaron Nesmith 3. Oh, Jalen Williams misses in response. And then Andrew Nembhard, one-on-one with SGA, little crossover step back 3 bucket. Like, what is this team, dude? It's Aaron Nesmith. It's Andrew Nembhard. You got Pascal Siakam, who's capable of going for 40. Tyrese Halliburton's going to hit a game winner if you give him a chance. There's just, we've spent so much time talking about all this depth that Oklahoma City can throw at you, and the way they can come at you in waves on defense. And Indiana just very quietly does the same thing offensively. Tyrese Halliburton is the focal point of it. But there's not a guy, you saw last night that the Pacers were perfectly fine with Lu Dort shooting threes.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's gotten better at shooting threes, but they're going, you know what? We'll live with this.
You shot 5 of 9.
Yeah. And they were just, okay. Like, if he's hits 5 of 9 all series, then great.
Mm-hmm.
But you saw, like, that's where they wanted to funnel shots. With Indiana, I don't know who you funnel shots to. And that makes playing defense so much more difficult. And then when you've got a guy like Andrew Nembhard who's going to create his own shot and hit a huge three against SGA, who's a really good defender.
Yeah.
This might be a series not over. Very much not an over series. But the way it's not as dramatic as the Pacers game 1 win over the Knicks in the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
But this has the air of, oh, that might leave Oklahoma City woozy enough that they never fully get back into the series. It wouldn't shock me if that wound up being the case where, man, Oklahoma City wins game 2, but then Indiana gets game 3, and Oklahoma City gets game 4, but then the Pacers get game 5 in OKC, and now they're coming home up 3-2. Like, that wouldn't shock me at all, where the Thunder just never quite get all the way into the series because they took this haymaker on the chin in game 1.
Yeah, I have more faith in them. I think that they're a team that just learned a very, very valuable lesson.
Sure.
They're definitely young,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to be prone to mistakes, and they just learned that if you let off the gas just that little tiny bit, you're done.
Yep.
That team will beat you.
Yep.
And that's something that from here on out, I expect them to turn up the intensity on Halliburton even more.
Mm.
And the question is, can the other players around him step up and be really good? I think it's interesting you brought up how they were allowing the, you know, the funnel to Dort.
Mm-hmm.
So Dort has 15, which, you know, again, he goes 5 of 9 from 3, 5 of 10 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Williams was not effective. 6 of 19 mm-hmm. goes for 17 points. So they put a lot of pressure on Williams, and he did a lot of ISO stuff that didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was SGA. I feel like they're going to let SGA score between 30 and 45 points every single game.
I think they're fine with it. Yep.
And then I didn't understand. Chet Holmgren just wasn't part of the game plan. Like, he finishes with 6 points and 6 rebounds, but he plays 24 minutes, 23 minutes and 31 seconds. Like, what is happening? He's not in foul trouble. Like, maybe he's just ineffective. But I just think that in order for that team to be at its best, they do need that established big three that they've kind of marched through the playoffs with.
Yeah.
And that big three doesn't include Lu Dort. Lu Dort can hit big shots. He can do what Nesmith has done, or mm-hmm. You know, what some of the other players have done for OKC. But you have got to figure out a way to get Chet Holmgren involved. And the fact that he was just completely stymied in this game was crazy.
Yeah, and I think that speaks a little bit to what we were just talking about. I have another insane thing from the fourth quarter I want to get to, so don't let me forget that. But I think that speaks a little bit to what we're talking about with the depth with Oklahoma City. And something that Mark Dagnall's very good at, and one of the reasons I think this series is very, very far from over, is that they have the luxury of being able to just go, hey, we're not going to play Chet in a regular rotation here. We're going to start Cason Wallace. AJ Mitchell played 4 minutes in the first half last night.
Mm-hmm.
And you might think, oh, 4 minutes in the first half, that's not a big deal. He had played 6 first-half minutes in their 16 previous playoff games.
Wow.
And they just, in game one of the finals, go, we're going to try this. They're going to try everything. And they're going to push buttons, and they're going to see how the Pacers react. It felt early on like a feel-out game from the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think what you said happened. They got up big and went, okay, like we figured it out. And then the Pacers just kept swinging and Oklahoma City didn't have any answers. So I'm really interested to see how that continues. But I do think that I don't think we're going to see Chet played off the floor the entire series.
Yeah, I hope not, because I think he's been exceptional. And I don't hate the matchup with him against Pascal Siakam at all.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
And I think he
Siakam's just so good at using his body, and yeah. Chet just is not there strength-wise yet.
No, that's true. That's true. I will say, too, like, even though they ended up losing, some of their defensive plays were nuts. That block by Lu Dort.
Oh, my God.
Was just off the charts. Talk about it. It goes straight up.
It looks like one of those things that happens in a video game, and you're like, got glitch. That's stupid.
Yeah, that can't happen.
And he just did, like, he got, like you said, he got vertical and then just stayed there?
Stayed there and then swatted a clean swat, doesn't foul at all. You're like, that was unbelievable.
I want to run this fourth quarter thing by you real quick.
Okay.
In the fourth quarter, Oklahoma City got outscored 35-25. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 10, Jalen Williams had 8. Cason Wallace 2, Alex Caruso 4, Aaron Wiggins 1. He made a free throw.
Mm.
Alex Caruso also, 2 of his 4 points came at the free throw line. 6 of Shai's 10 came at the free throw line. But anyways, so they had 5 guys score, and 1, 2, 3 guys score 3 or more. Indiana had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dudes score 3 or more points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. See, that?
That's crazy, dude.
Not only that, but like we were looking at the stats earlier and I was like, okay, how is it possible that OKC had 98 shot attempts and Indiana had 82?
Insane.
Outshot them by 16 shots.
Insane.
And then you go through and you're like, okay, it was the free throw disparity was 24-21 in favor of Oklahoma City.
So not crazy.
Nope. And then I get to the rebounding, and OKC got out-rebounded by 17.
Golly.
It was 56-39, and the team with 56 is the one who had 16 less shots. So I'm like, okay, this doesn't make it. But
so 16 more rebounds on 16 with 16 fewer shots.
17 more rebounds. And then the other thing I like,
17.
You look at the rebounding. Haliburton, they're starting 5. Haliburton has 10.
Mm-hmm.
You got 9 for Miles Turner. You've got 10 for Pascal Siakam. You have 12 from Aaron
Nesmith.
Wow. Like, their starting lineup just crashed the boards. And this is one of the
three dudes with double doubles
adjustments that is going to have to happen for OKC. They have got to get on the glass. Yeah. And for, I think, playing the Knicks and just how great a rebounding team and having to go up against a guy like Josh Hart,
yep.
it prepared them mm-hmm. to go in there against a team who's not thinking about the rebounding advantage yep. as like a huge key, and they just dominated the glass.
Well, and in the series before that, you played the team with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man.
But they didn't play anyone, Kyle. They didn't play anyone. Everyone was hurt.
The Pacers tied their season high with 25 turnovers in game one of the finals. They had 25 to 20 in the first half.
Yeah.
They had 79 games this year where they had 20 or fewer for a game, and they had 20 in the first half.
That's crazy.
25 turnovers, 11 points off those turnovers for OKC.
You have 20 first half turnovers and only trail by 12? Come on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Really, really awesome performance from the Pacers. And I love when a sports thing happens. We talk about this a lot. I love when a sports thing happens, and as you're watching it, you're going, oh, this is a I remember where I was moment.
Yep.
I remember, even if Oklahoma City, this is actually super appropriate, even if Oklahoma City wins the next four, mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, let's just go to the world where Oklahoma City boat races Indiana the next four. I don't think they're going to, but let's say they do. The Tyrese Halliburton shot's still going to live.
Oh, yeah.
Today's the anniversary, the 24th anniversary of the Allen Iverson step over on Ty Lue. We still see that.
Oh, yeah.
76ers got housed in that series, but we still see that moment. Last night, Tyrese Halliburton's game winner was a moment. That was really, really cool, and we will we'll continue covering the NBA Finals right here on ESPN 1320. Of course, game two is on Sunday, and you can hear that right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. Okay, I want to tie the Kings into the finals a little bit. Non-Tyrese Halliburton edition.
Okay.
This is about the Kings in the finals, or the Kings and the finals, and we're not going to include Tyrese Halliburton in that conversation. Well, he's not yet. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's Joe Brazil. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're hanging out with you till noon on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Radio.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
The Elk Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to shout out a local business, apparently that's just what we're doing today.
You also get to say hi to me.
You can talk to Joe, and while he's taking your call, we're going to mess with him while he's on the phone. It's going to be great.
Yep.
What was your pizza spot you shouted out earlier?
Old Town.
Old Town Pizza.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Old Town.
I got Nick's Roasting Co. here in Roseville.
I got one.
World Traveler Coffee down by
Doko.
Golden One Center in Doko. Yeah. You got your Bart Bridge hat on. We love Bart Bridge.
I got one. I'll do Roundhouse Deli right down here.
Oh, Roundhouse Deli. Shout out Roundhouse Deli. Very good. Very good spot.
Renee, the owner, remembered my name before I remembered his.
That's wild.
So that's why I was like, this dude is legit.
That's wild.
Yeah.
One time in Arizona, and I promise we'll get to the Kings here in a second, the Kings and the NBA Finals. There was this spot in Arizona. It was New York Italian guys is a pizza spot. It was really good. But their whole thing was like everybody's family. When you come here, like Olive Garden-ish, right? When you're here, your family. It was that kind of deal. And all I heard from the people I worked with is like, dude, they remember your name. That was all. Everybody's like, it's insane. You go in there once and they remember your name. So I go in there. Guy shakes my hand. He's like, what's your name? I'm Mike or whatever his name was. It's like, I'm Connor.
You forgot his name.
I forgot his name. I think it was Mike. And so I order the pizza and he throws in. He's like, hey, here's our world famous garlic knots. Like, not world famous. Come on. But he's like, here's our world famous garlic knots. I got those for you. Like, da da da. Those are on us. You know, welcome to the family. Blah, blah, blah. Kyle, great to meet you. Da da da. I was like, sick. That's great customer service. That's what I want. I go in there like legit the next week. It might have been 2 weeks later. This is 10 years ago now, so I don't remember exactly. But I go in there a week or two later. It was not a long time later. I walk in. I'm ready for him to be like, my brother,
Kyle.
Welcome back. Kyle's here, everybody. We're fired up. Get him those garlic knots. We know what this guy wants. I walk in and he goes, sticks his hand across the counter and goes, hey, I'm Mike. What's your name?
Oh no.
Kyle. Dude, order my pizza. I'm dejected. I'm despondent. You know what? He goes, hey, and we got some of our world famous garlic knots for you. Hey, those are on me. It's like, oh, you just do this for everyone? I'm not special. Didn't remember my name. Did the free knots thing again. Oh, man.
I did.
That was humiliating.
When I worked at Copeland Sports, I did have a local radio personality come in looking for racquetballs, strangely enough. I remember this. And one of those people that asks you your first name, shakes your hand, and then uses your first name in the conversation another 43 times to make you feel like he's
you're the only person in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it so disingenuous and appalling. It was like, yeah, thanks, James. You know, James, I just can't wait to get out there, you know, like, and just kept doing it again and again and again and again. And I was like,
that makes my body hurt.
This is a bit, you know, like, so if you meet me out there by Doco or something and you come over and introduce yourself, just know that I'm horrible with names. If you're not wearing a name tag, the only way that my brain works is to look at your name tag, attach the name tag name to your face in my brain, and then I move on and I can remember your name. If not, I'm not going to remember your name at all.
At the next Insiders Live event, we're going to have Hello, My Name Is stickers.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
I actually love that idea. We're going to do that.
I think that's quality. Yeah, we can. That's it. That's easy. We'll expense it. Yeah, I'm terrible. We have a new guy. Basketball next, I swear. We have a new guy in our engineering department. And Seth, our wonderful engineer, comes over and he introduces the guy to Joe and I. Introduce him. He goes, hey, my name's Matt. Matt, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. We just chop it up for a quick second. He leaves. As he walks away, I look at Joe and I go, hey, what was that guy's name? Like, said his name. Like, I said it to try and Joe's like,
No. Okay, yeah, no. Throw me under the bus. You're right. I forgot to.
I'm so bad with names. You're much better at names in here than I am because I can't remember anyone's name.
Oh, I see a couple times, like, I got it. But when we first meet, it could be anyone. Like, I'm so bad. You will tell me your name. I will process your name. I will say your name back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you walk away, I'm like, Was it Brian? Brad?
Dude, it's the handshake for me. I'm focused on the handshake.
Exactly. That's it.
Like, I have too many things like in my brain that I've jammed in there.
Sure.
That I like remembering everyone's name that I run into is very
difficult.
It's
like a full trash can. You put the thing on the top and it just rolls off.
Yeah.
I still wear a name tag. Like that. Yeah.
We should just wear a name tag.
I remember your name, Joe.
Okay, good.
It happens.
Yeah. That's all good. Right.
It may have taken a little while, but...
That's James Hamm. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. John behind the glass. And I want to talk about this question I sent you last night. Because I think it's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
At least it is for me. I hope it's interesting for you. And we'll get to your calls on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. Daniel, I see you there. Hang on 1 second. Okay. To start this exercise, who are the Kings' five best dudes? Sabonis, one.
Today, as of today.
As of right now. Today.
Okay. Sabonis.
Sabonis, one. LaVine, two.
Okay.
Yep. In no order. No order.
Okay. Right. Okay. No that order works. Makes sense. Yeah.
Sabonis, one. LaVine, two. Keegan?
Yep.
I would put him in there.
Yep.
DeMar's in there.
Yep.
Are we going Keon Ellis?
I'm going Malik Monk.
Yeah, Monk.
That's the five best. Okay. So Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis. That's our five. So that's the five guys we're talking about when I say the Kings' five best dudes. It's Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis. Okay. That's established for this exercise. I don't want to really argue about that. That's just where we're at. Okay. If you have a different fourth or fifth person, you can include them in your brain for this. Would you rather have those five dudes, and we'll start with Oklahoma City, or Oklahoma City's seven best bench dudes?
Mm.
So you can have Monk, LaVine, DeRozan, Murray, Sabonis, or Alex Caruso, Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, AJ Mitchell, Kenrich Williams, and Jalen Williams. Because I think I'm going with the Thunder's bench dudes.
The other Jalen Williams. So this isn't the...
Yeah, J. Will, not J. Dub.
Yeah.
Jay Williams, Arkansas Jalen Williams, not the All-Star.
I mean, I think I'm going Kings just because of the high-end talent.
Okay.
Although I think that that group of players can fit and can win a lot of games.
That's okay. And that's where when I was watching the Thunder just and watching Mark Daigneault last night, just here's some AJ Mitchell for you. Hey, we're just going to start Cason Wallace. Let's just see how this goes. When I was watching them do that last night, and I know Cason Wallace started last night, but I put him in this group because he typically doesn't start.
Yeah.
I think those dudes go really well together. And I think it's so much easier to start building a foundation around guys like that than it would be with the Kings five guys. You're right. The high-end talent is better. And if you put the five best Thunder bench guys against those five Kings, mm-hmm. the five Kings win. But I think when you start talking team building, and we've already talked about this some on this station, that how cumbersome Zach LaVine's contract is.
Yeah.
What's DeMar DeRozan's value? What are you doing with Keegan Murray? Is Domantas Sabonis a player who's going to be here? And if he is, what kind of value are you going to get with his contract? I think there are so many question marks there. There's question marks with the contract, with some of the contracts. There's question marks with the fit. I think if you just have those seven Thunder bench dudes, it's like, hey, here's a really nice foundation, specifically defensively. There's some guys who will take and make threes. Cool. Now what do we need to add to that? I would rather have to add to that group than figure out whatever the hell the Kings have to figure out with this group.
No, I'm with you. I would also say, like, if I want to flip this exercise on its head a little bit.
Please do.
Like, if we line up the five that we said, I actually would take Alex Caruso over Malik Monk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cason Wallace, I would not take over Zach LaVine just because Zach LaVine is an elite scorer, right? Isaiah Joe, again, I'm not taking Isaiah Joe player. Or Aaron Wiggins over DeMar DeRozan. And I'm not taking, you know, Kenrich Williams or Jalen Williams.
Yeah, like I said, pound for pound, it's not. Yeah. But the talent.
But there are players here that I would, not only that, but, you know, we can get into a different discussion later about Cason Wallace or Andrew Nembhard. But I think that there is, like, the Kings should be looking at these teams and going, okay, number one, how do I emulate that? Number two, is there a way that one or two of these players, like, don't fit their long-term plan?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm kind of like, okay, like, how can I get in here? And,
I would any of them.
Yeah.
They all fit a little bit different roles, but just the type of player the Kings need.
Yeah.
And they've already been in, I thought Anthony Slater's answer yesterday. I asked him, Anthony Slater, who's covering the Oklahoma City Thunder for The Athletic / the New York Times, but he does, of course, Kings and Warriors stuff out here during the regular season. I asked him about Cason Wallace and how you take a top 10 pick and get him to buy into the coming off the bench, defense, cutting, shooting threes. How do you get him to buy into that? And he basically just said this is the culture they've established.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Presti has been establishing this culture for two decades now. Or a decade and a half, and this is what you do when you come to Oklahoma City, and there's an understanding of that. I think if you get more players like that in the building, and we talked about this the other day, like the priority of finding the right players,
mm-hmm.
I think more than the skill sets, more than is Isaiah Joe better than player X? Maybe not pound for pound fundamentally between the lines, but if you can add a player who just comes from that background,
mm-hmm.
It's all with Jake LaRavia. Different culture in Memphis, but that hard-nosed, you're going to fly around defensively, you're going to be unselfish on offense, you're going to go in and you're going to try and grab every rebound, you're going to dive for every loose ball. Like, you see that in the way Jake LaRavia plays. If you can get a player from Oklahoma City, or we'll talk about the Pacers in a second, or from the Pacers where, hey, they know, that's the style of basketball that they know, I think that's so important.
Yeah, so I've had plenty of conversations with people around the team, and one of the things that stands out to me is that exact thing. We, you know, the team right now is really, really focused on trying to build that exact identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a team that represents the community, a team yep. that is blue collar, a team that that plays hard each and every night, that can basically go 500 just by showing up every night and giving 100% effort every single minute they're on the court.
Yep.
And that's something that they're trying to do right now. It's part of the Doug Christie mantra. It's also part of the Scott Perry mantra. They're hoping to build a culture like this. And you got to stick with it. That's the biggest issue here. You know, like for me, Sam Presti's been there forever. Kevin Pritchard has been in Indiana forever. These coaches have been around these teams for, you know, a couple of years now. And they've been allowed to grow and build this brand of basketball that each of these teams embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the first step for the Kings. We talk about finding the point guard. We talk about finding the head of the snake and all that stuff. Realistically, this team didn't play hard every night.
Nope.
And that was the case under Mike Brown, and it was the case under Doug Christie.
Yep.
And it didn't matter how many times Doug had a players-only meeting, a coaches-only meeting, a starters-only meeting, like whatever. They didn't play. There were certain nights where you're just like throw your hands up and like, hey, look, there are a lot of people here in this building at home that spent a lot of money to be here.
Yeah.
And you're acting like you don't care. Mm-hmm. You don't care about the money that they spent, mm-hmm. and maybe money doesn't mean anything to you, mm-hmm. but that family of four is $600 into this night.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they still haven't got out of the parking garage for $35 or whatever.
And this might be the only game they go to all year.
And it might be the first time they've ever gone to a game.
Can you imagine? Yeah. And I'm sure this happened. Family of four, we'll just say family of four.
Yep.
Mom, dad, brother, sister, they go to a Kings game. Mom and dad Kings fans are trying to make their kids Kings fans, and you picked last year's Indiana game to go to.
Mm.
Where the Kings just punted. From the opening tip.
Yeah.
That's not going to make anybody fall in love with basketball, and I kind of think that's the mantra that Doug Christie is preaching.
Well, yeah, that, and like I had asked him about their home and road record, and mm-hmm. he actually snapped at me and said, hey, no. What's my record at home? And I'm like, well, like, I got to be honest. That doesn't matter. Your team's record at home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, but what is my record at home? Okay, you're above 500. I'll give you that, Doug. Mm-hmm. I get it. But the fact is, your players didn't take the first half of the season seriously and got thumped on their home court way too often. Mm-hmm. I also, this always brings me back to, like, a conversation I had with Scott Moak. And Scott Moak told me that they understand that the basketball will, you know, there's ebbs and flows, especially in Sacramento, of good basketball and bad basketball. But it's their job as a staff, as a crew, to create a unique individual experience that you understand that there are hundreds of people in that building every single night that have never been to a game, that have spent so much of their hard-earned money to get there and mm-hmm. are so excited to be there. And you need to think of that every single moment of the game, every timeout, every little thing that you're doing on the court. It is to impress somebody and to leave them with a feeling that they, whether the team won or lost, they had a really good time. And that's something that stands out. But I also, at some point, the team has to respect that as well. And I don't think they have over the last couple of years.
Doug went 14-10 at home, just for the record.
Yeah, I think at that point, I think he was 13-9. Something like that.
Yeah, finished with four straight losses to the Bulls, Bucks, Celtics, and Thunder, beat the Blazers, lost to the Nuggets and Clippers, beat the Suns, and of course lost in the play-in game to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Oof. A game that looked like they quit in, by the way, that Dallas game.
Mm. Not great.
Not great. Anyways, we'll continue this exercise. I got one more step to it, and then we'll continue talking about the finals. And there's a couple of Kings things from this week that we have been pushing off, and we're going to try and get to it today. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell, good running back name. It's a great point by our guy Chris.
Yeah.
Kenny Pickett, Leezy, and Soren, bad quarterback name.
Drunken Miller was never going to be.
Drunken Miller, but yeah.
Drunken Miller.
Not a good quarterback name.
Not a good quarterback name. That was never going to work out.
Jackson Dart, good quarterback name.
Oh, yeah, that's a good quarterback name. Or a good running back or wide receiver name.
Anyways, we're back. Yeah, that is Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett. Sorry about that, Spectre. You're right. I had another version of this Kings thing. And it's a little bit the same, and I guess this speaks more to, we talked so much about the Thunder bench, and you talked about this yesterday. Like, we talk all about the Thunder depth. Well, the Pacers aren't bad in that area. And so if you take out Halliburton and Siakam, that leaves you with Aaron Nesmith, Miles Turner, Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell, Benedict Mathurin, and Ben Shepherd. Are you taking that group over the Kings' best five players? Because that includes a couple of starters with Nembhard and Nesmith and Turner. Nesmith started yesterday.
Yeah, I might take that group. I think I'm taking that Nembhard, Nesmith, Turner, Toppin, McConnell, Mathurin, and Shepherd. Yeah,
that's a good ass team. Just that's by itself.
Yeah, that's a 40-plus one team.
It's a good group.
It is. It is a good group. I totally agree. Like, I think that was one of the other things that when I'm watching these two teams play,
mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, like, Nembhard starts, so, like, it's difficult, and they just signed him to a contract extension and stuff like that. But if I'm the Kings, this is the type of basketball player I'm looking at around the league. Like, you're looking for a starting-level point guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
For somebody that you're looking at that's underutilized on their team, and I know Nembhard starts, right? But that doesn't mean he's not underutilized, because I think he's a player that if he had his own team, he would actually be much, much better than the 10 points and 5 assists per game that he averaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's because playing alongside Tyrese Halliburton is really, really difficult,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's off the ball a lot more than he probably should be.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that if I'm the Kings, like, I'm starting to compile a short list of players, and again, Nembhard is under contract for 3 years after this year at 18.1, 19.5, and 21. So he actually got paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get like a super long-term deal, but a 3-year 60 is pretty solid.
Yeah.
If I'm the Kings, I'm looking at Nembhard, and I'm also looking at Cason Wallace, who, again, like we talked to Slater yesterday, Cason mm-hmm. Wallace is a guy who was Mr. Basketball in Texas. He was a point guard. He's always been a point guard. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's not allowed to do any of that stuff there.
All of a sudden, he's Keon Ellis.
Yeah, yeah. And I think these players have more to give.
In terms of role, not skill set. Go on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, as you're right. He is, for them, that's what they've converted him to.
Right.
But I still think that these are the types of players that I'm looking at and going, okay, number one, winning culture.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, role with a winning culture.
Yeah.
And number three, major untapped potential that we aren't
yep.
being able to see at the NBA level. And so if I'm the Kings, and I would consider going with, you know, going to Indiana and saying, hey, I'll give you an unrestricted first round pick and a future lottery protected pick for a guy like Andrew Nembhard.
Have to give up a lot more than that.
I don't know. Like, that's a lot, man. You're talking two first round picks? Like, that's a team
for a starting shooting guard on a team that's up 1-0 in the finals?
But who averaged 10 points a game. And so, like, I get it. And especially for a team that already has a guy like Benedict Mathurin, they've got a guy like Nesmith that's coming up, they've got McConnell, like, they have other options.
I know this is separate from the discussion we're having, but averaged 10 points a game, but also took the second biggest shot of the night last night, can handle the basketball, plays awesome defense. And in the playoffs, so check this out, Andrew Nembhard career, 9.6 points a night, 2.7 boards, 4.6 assists on 46.4% from the field and 33.5% from three.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs for his career, 14 points a night, 3.3 boards, 5.3 assists, 51.4% from the field and 47.6% from three. This dude in the big moments elevates.
Absolute baller.
And gets better. I don't think there's any reason that Indiana would want to part ways with him.
No, I get that.
I don't
know
what their financial stuff looks like. And yeah. Maybe but maybe it's not Nembhard specifically, but I agree wholeheartedly that there are players around the league. Every team, the NBA is so talented. Every team has players. Maybe not every team. There are a lot of teams that have players on their bench, the Case and Wallaces of the world, players starting the Andrew Nembhards of the world, where if you get them into a different situation, you get them into Sacramento where, hey, you're going to have the keys. Case and Wallace, hey, salute for all the hard work you did defensively and as a 3-and-D guy with Oklahoma City. Now you're starting point guard here.
Yeah.
And finding players like that, and again, maybe it's not Case and Wallace. Maybe Oklahoma City loves him. Maybe Nembhard, maybe Indiana just loves Andrew Nembhard and they're never going to let him go. He's part of their core. But go find the different version of that player on another roster.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at these. I think there are players, even on these teams, that you can look at and say, hey, look, are they willing to give Ben Shepherd and Benedict Mathurin a longer look? Are they worried about their long-term financial flexibility as a roster? Again, Miles Turner is an unrestricted free agent this summer, and I think everybody expects him to sign back there. Mm-hmm. But the problem is right now they're $165 million in dedicated salary for next season without a player like that, without, you know, some of their other bench players. And so if I'm the Kings, I'm calling on these teams and saying, hey, you got a couple of young guards that I think could be a starter for our team at the point guard position. And, you know, maybe they say no. But again, I'm not saying, hey, go do the Kevin Huerter trade where you're giving up a future lottery protected first round pick. I'm talking, you go buy this guy out. Mm-hmm. You go give them $20 million bucks. You give them a couple of first round picks because you believe in those players.
Sure.
And there's a possibility that some of these teams, like, yeah, they're like, okay,
you make the call. You make that call. Maybe the Pacers laugh. Maybe they go, no, we're not, no. He's untouchable.
Of course.
Hang up.
Yeah.
But you got to make the call. I totally agree. I would be shocked if they moved on, especially if they win the finals. But man, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Wasn't even that good last night. 4-for-11, 2-for-6 from three, but hey, SGA on him, 6-point game late. All right. Here's his crossover step back triple.
Showed up.
In your eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy. What a fun basketball game that was.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
I'm so happy that my thought on the series was wrong, because I was so afraid that this was going to be Thunder by 18, Thunder by 9, Thunder by 6, and Thunder by 25.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe squeeze in a Pacers win in that, but like they were going to largely be uninteresting. And instead, we get an iconic finals game in game one. It's just, I if anybody at this point, like if you did not at some point last night turn that game on, you call yourself a basketball fan, but you went, you know what? OKC and Indiana, uninterested. I don't follow those teams. Give me Knicks. Give me Lakers. Give me Boston. If it's not one of those teams, I'm not interested. If you didn't turn on that game last night, or you weren't following it and turned it on at some point down the stretch, you just don't like basketball.
I take it to another level, man. If I'm like this Sunday, when the series continues, I'm gonna invite friends over.
It is yes.
I am going to invite non basketball watching friends that would watch the Super Bowl, but don't typically like. Yeah. Hey, no, like this is unbelievable basketball. What we saw last night was
so good.
We got to see a moment.
It was so high level.
Like how many times you get to see a moment, and it's not well in this playoffs. Like Tyrese Halliburton's created like four or five now. Yeah, it's absolutely wild what he's doing. But like, this is becoming must see TV, and I think this is what the league should be looking for. It shouldn't care about things like television markets or, and for that matter, ask your television partners to shut up. Like, stop talking about that. Stop making it such a big deal, because you're just driving people away for no reason, reason at all. Because this right now, these are the best two teams in the NBA.
Yes.
There's no question. They're the best two teams in the NBA.
Which I think is really fun, because this is, we've talked about the passing of the torch to, you know, from the LeBron, Steph, KD era to the SGA, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards,
yeah,
Luka, Wemby, this era, right? And then you've got Jokic, who's kind of a weird tweener. But we've talked about that handoff, but I also think you're seeing a handoff to a different style of team build.
Yeah.
Where it's not, just go get whatever star you can. I'm so interested to see if the finals this year impact Kevin Durant's market or Giannis Antetokounmpo's market. Where in the past, you might have had teams that just like, get me Giannis in the door. Let's go. We'll give you everything. Here's six picks and here's our four best players. We'll just take Giannis and figure it out. That's not going to work anymore, man.
Mm-mm.
Because you're going to run into the Pacers who are just going to run circles around you. Or you're going to run into the Thunder who are just going to run circles around you. And obviously SGA is a megastar. Like, I get it. This is not... But you're not going to gut your team to try and get that player because we're seeing depth. We're seeing defense. We're seeing role players hitting threes. We're seeing that become so much more important than just the raw star power at the top of your roster.
Yeah.
Because if that was the case, Golden State would be in the finals right now. Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry. Yeah, get him. But no, they didn't have enough depth. They weren't good enough.
Nope.
We weren't even good enough to beat Minnesota.
The Knicks. The Knicks were star-studded.
Very top-heavy.
Yeah, and I expect them to try to do this again, even more top-heavy. Will they chase Giannis? Will they chase Kevin Durant?
Mm-hmm.
Answer is, yeah, they probably will.
They probably will, but I'm interested to see, are they going to gut their team for it? Or are they going to go, you know what? Here's Kat. Here's Deuce McBride. And some picks.
Yeah.
We need to keep this team together. We need to supplement this. We need players to supplement Giannis.
Yeah.
We're not going to give you all the players because then you're hustling backwards.
Yeah, I saw someone put out there like a trade built around OG Anunoby and a future first round pick and some other player Mitchell Robinson that made the money work for Kevin Durant. And I'm like, okay, that might be what we see.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a team who's literally chasing like something that's fleeting, that's slipping between their fingers and they don't know how to stop it. And you know,
already fired the coach.
Yep.
Man, going to be a really, really interesting offseason in the NBA. But we got the finals to get through first, man. Mm-hmm. I'm locking in for game 2. I'm planning my Sunday around game 2.
Yep.
Can't wait. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's Joe Brazil. We've got more NBA finals. We've got more Kings coming up for you in the second hour on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento's sports leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.